About for besides last week, weeks in the past, was thinking about the different things that Mashiach has to do, different requirements, the simanim of Mashiach. So there's the requirements of Cheskas Mashiach, the requirements that Mashiach does, which make him presumed to be Mashiach, as the Rebbe translates it, which are to in his own personal avodas that he's diligent and tight, involved in mitzvahs like David HaMelech, his ancestor, and then in the avodah on the Yidden that he's Yaakov Kol Yisrael, he's compelling Yidden to fulfill Torah mitzvahs, and then also he's going to wage the wars of Hashem, which is not just for the Jewish people, but in other words, in the world in general, and the nations around Eretz Yisrael, the nations that are persecuting the Yidden. Then, if a person does these three things, he's presumed to be Mashiach. He's called the Cheskas Mashiach. Then the Rambam says, if he was successful, and he was victorious over all the nations around Eretz Yisrael, and he built the Beis HaMikdash in its place, and he gathered in the exiles of the Jewish people, Nidchei Yisrael, so then he's definitely Mashiach. So the Rebbe learns that the Geula, what we call the Geula HaMitzvah Vashleima, the redemption only happens right at the end. Even if he was victorious over the nations around him, it doesn't mean that he's definitely going to be a Mashiach. And even after he built the base HaMikdash, still the Geula didn't start yet. The Geula starts after he builds the base HaMikdash and he gathers in the exiles of the Jewish people. That's when the Geula takes place. Now I want to speak a little bit about the building Beis HaMikdash in this place, particularly it's 3 weeks, but and also the connection, the sequence, like I mentioned in the past, the Seder of the Rambam, the order of the things, the way they are in the Rambam are exact. So in other words, there's a reason why the building of the Beis HaMikdash comes after the victory over the enemies around Eretz Yisrael. So the Rebbe brings one of the reasons the Rebbe brings is that we find that there were three mitzvahs the Yidden were commanded when they went into Eretz Yisrael. And the order of these mitzvahs is the exact order of the mitzvahs. When they went into Eretz Yisrael, they had a mitzvah to appoint a king, to wipe out Amalek, and then to build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's how we find the sequence, how these mitzvahs were fulfilled, is that right? I mean, they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of appointing a king until almost 400 years later, for whatever reason. But after Shaul was appointed as king, the thing that he was commanded to do was to wage war with Amalek. That's a famous story that we had, that he left Agag alive and he didn't fulfill, completely wipe out Amalek properly the way Hashem wanted. But it wasn't just randomly that he was told to wage war with Amalek, but this was, you know, the way David Shah wanted is that after you have a king, you wage war with Amalek. After that came David HaMelech. David HaMelech, it says, he also waged war with Edom, which some people explain as Amalek. It says that after David Shah was at peace from all the enemies around him, so then he went and he told the Navi, he said that he wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash. He says that I'm sitting here in a palace, and here the Arun of Hashem, they didn't have really a permanent house at that time. The Mishkan of Noivin Givin was destroyed, and the Arun was in a tent. He wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash. Hashem told the Navi to tell David that you're not going to build a Beis HaMikdash. You'll have, because you spilled too much blood, you'll have a son, he'll be a man of peace. He's going to be the one to build a Beis HaMikdash. So David HaMelech didn't actually build the Beis HaMikdash, but he prepared the Beis HaMikdash. The preparations he did, actually, the blueprint of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, David HaMelech was the one that prepared it. With the help of Shmuel HaNavi, they figured it out together. They also figured out where's the place. They didn't know where exactly the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be built. Different opinions whether they didn't know Bechlal was supposed to be built, or they didn't know the exact spot on Har HaMoriah where it's supposed to be built. David HaMelech is a whole story in Tanakh, how the end of the book of Shmuel, the whole story how there was a plague of death, and David told the Navi told David HaMelech to go buy a to go by the goyren, whatever, the storage house of wheat of a certain goy, and he built a mizbeach, and he saw how the malach stopped the plague, and he realized that this is the place, this was Haramri, the place of the mizbeach. He also collected gold and silver. From all the wars that he fought, he collected a lot of gold and silver, which he designated for the Beis HaMikdash. So he prepared the blueprints, he bought the place of the Beis HaMikdash, he prepared the gold and silver. He actually, it says, he dug the foundations, the shittin, in by the Mizbeach. There was a whole system where the wine that they poured on top of the Mizbeach went down the drain, all the way down into the Hoyim. David HaMalach dug that, whatever. Different opinions exactly what he prepared, but he prepared the Beis HaMikdash. And again, the sequence was that after Amalek, Shaul was the king, and then Amalek was the midst of waging war with Amalek, and then came the midst of building the Beis HaMikdash. The same thing is with Mashiach, it's going to be the order, it's going to follow the same order. He'll be appointed as a king. Then he's going to wage wars of Hashem, which Rabbi explains refers also to the war with Amalek. Some place the Rebbe says it primarily refers to the war with Amalek. And once the Jewish people, the Pasuk says that after that, when the Jewish people are at peace from all their enemies around them, then comes the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash then. There's a bit of discussion, which I'm not gonna get into right today. There's a bit of discussion in the order of building the Beis HaMikdash and gathering in the exiles. Which one comes first? The Rambam clearly paskins that first Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash, and only then will he gather in the exiles. And there's different opinions really in Midrashim, which one comes first. The Rambam paskins that first Mashiach builds the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe I'll discuss it later if we still have time. But the Rambam writes about Mashiach building the Beis HaMikdash. He writes, even the Mikdash bim koimah, he'll build the Beis HaMikdash in its place. I'm sure you've heard about this before. The Rebbe spoke about this a number of times. What is the Rambam trying to emphasize by saying it will be built in its place? Sure, it was in the beginning of the same parak when the Rambam discusses what Mashiach will have to do, he says he'll build the Mikdash. He doesn't say he'll build the Mikdash in its place. What is the Rambam emphasizing by saying you build the Mikdash in its place? There's a number of answers the Rebbe gives. Apik Pshat and Al Derech HaRemez also. The answer that the Rebbe gives is that one of the reasons why we can't build the Beis HaMikdash today, you know, today there's a whole movement which the Rebbe was very against about building the Beis HaMikdash. But there's a lot of halachic, besides the political and, you know, reasons for not being able to build the Beis HaMikdash, there's halachic reasons why we can't build the Beis HaMikdash and why we can't bring karbanos. And one of the fundamental reasons why we can't build the Beis HaMikdash is because we don't know exactly where it is. We know there's Mishnayis Masechta Midos, which gives us dimensions of how big the Beis HaMikdash was. We don't know exactly where the Beis HaMikdash, we know more or less what the Har HaMoriah is. Even that, we don't know exactly where the boundaries are. Because today,
does that mean the Kosel's and Machlokas, what it is right now? We don't know what it is?
The standard opinion is that it's the western wall of the Temple Mount. The question is, where exactly on the Temple Mount was the Beis HaMikdash? So the Mishnah doesn't say exactly where, and the Mishnah says that the Har HaBayis was 500 amos by 500 amos. The current dimensions of the Har HaBayis are much bigger than that. And there's different opinions that have how to understand that. It's also, people agree that the Har HaBayis was raised, not raised higher up, but raised with a razor. It was the Romans, they downsized it. So it's hard to tell exactly where is what. A common accepted opinion, which it seems the Rebbe also held the same way, was that the Dome of the Rock is where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was. The Mount, the Rock, you know, the Dome of the Rock and the Temple Mount.
The Muslims?
The Muslims have. So, I don't know, but the Radvaz held that this is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this is the Evan HaShasiya. It said that the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the Evan HaShasiya. That Vaz held it as the Rebbe from different sikhs, it seems that the Rebbe is also holding the same way. A lot of some people strongly question this, but I'm not gonna, this is a whole separate discussion. But even that, even if we would use the Dome of the Rock as identifying where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is, the Dome of the Rock is so big today. It says, the Mishnah says that the Rock stuck out three fingers from the ground, whatever it was at that time, you know, the way it's today, you don't know. Even if you're going to say the rock is the Kodesh, we're in the rock, which part of the rock was we in the Kodesh HaKadosh, and we don't know. Besides the fact that they cut, it seems part of the rock also. So it's, besides the fact that other people claim that the rock is, there's different theories here, which, you know, it's not going to get anywhere anyway, because they're not going to figure out anything from all the theories about exactly what where the Beis HaMikdash was. So if you don't know, the Mizbeach has to be, the Rambam writes, Mizbeach mekoymeh mechuvim b'yoseh, the Mizbeach has to be on an exact spot. It can't be a bit off. So because we don't know where it is, we can't build the Beis HaMikdash.
They wrote a letter to Rabbi, the Rav of the case of the area, asking him not to investigate this for lots of reasons. One of the reasons that Rabbi writes about it is because it's a concern. And once you start, it's going to stop coming. Here you go, there you go, don't go, will go, won't go, and walking with this. He said, really, it's a very serious issue to walk in these places. And they're telling this. I mean, it's very serious.
Yeah.
That is very, very arrogant.
So the Rambam, so the answer is obviously that simple answer is Mashiach comes min Hashemayim, comes from heaven, they shall put it in the spot. You won't have to sit and figure it out. But otherwise, you know, if let's say you're going to learn, like the Rebbe gives such certain answers, that the fact that the Rambam writes the Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash means that we're not, in this case, from Loi Zachu, if we won't merit, Mashiach will build it, or whatever, maybe the different answers here the Rebbe gives, maybe we'll speak about it later. So, but what does it mean? How is Mashiach going to know where to build it? He'll obviously need to have some level of Ruach HaKodesh or some type of deep wisdom to be able to figure out exactly what's what. There was one sefer a person wrote, he says, called Kindness HaMizbeach. The Rebbe actually quotes him. And he was writing that the Chayyim could figure out where the Beis HaMikdash is, because it says the whole Har HaBayis was built, Kippin Agabe Kippin was built. The whole thing wasn't built directly on the ground. It was under the base, under the whole Har HaBayis was arches on top of arches. The whole thing, in order that in case there's any tumah buried under, any dead body buried underneath, the tumah shouldn't go up. So the only place was mamish on the ground, that was directly on the ground, was the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was on solid rock. So he says, L'chayit, if you would be able to check around the whole Har HaBayis, we're able to see what part. Sefer Karnei HaMizbeach, written by a great Choshev Yid. So he was saying, theoretically, he was writing, you know, it shouldn't be a big deal being able to figure out, because it just goes through the whole Har HaBayis. But today, it was such a churban made over there anyway, you don't even know what's his boss. You know, I don't even know if that answer would help, to know what's arches, what's not arches, where. Anyway, so Mashiach will either figure it out through Ruach HaKodesh, you know, so the Rebbe, or whatever, come in Hashemayim. Obviously, it's going to have to be some special divine wisdom or Ruach HaKodesh to figure out the exact spot. So the Rebbe says that this is why the Rambam adds the words, Yivna Mikdash Bim Koymeh, he'll build the Beis HaMikdash in its place, because this is one of the things, it's also one of the signs of Mashiach, is that he will be able to figure out exactly where the right place is. So however he'll do it, we're not sure, but he will. This is a sign that he's Mashiach, he's able to build it in this right place. There's another sikh where the Rebbe says a bit of a different answer in a similar vein. The Rebbe gave a different, the Rebbe spoke about this a number of times, that there seems to be a contradiction. Certain sources it says the Beis HaMikdash will be built in heaven, it's going to come down miraculously. The Rambam writes, the Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash. So how do we reconcile the two opinions? So the Rebbe gave a number of answers. The classic answer is it depends if Zachu or Loi Zachu. If we merit, everything will be done in a miraculous way, the Beis HaMikdash will come from heaven. If we won't merit, Mashiach will have to build it. Then there's another thing, that Mashiach will build a physical Beis HaMikdash, and within that Beis HaMikdash will be drawn down, you know, from heaven, the spiritual component of the physical Beis HaMikdash, whatever, different ways of understanding it. One of the answers that Rebbe said is that those things which we know how to build, that will build. In other words, let me explain it. The second Beis HaMikdash, we have Mishnayis from Masechta Midos. We have the Rambam, which describes exactly how it was built. The third Beis HaMikdash, the blueprint for its building, is found in the book of Yecheskel. which he describes the third Beis HaMikdash. Now, what's found in Yechezkel verses are very hard to deal with. First, besides the fact there's a number of arguments, as usual, what the psukim can mean, but it's something that's very hard to figure out what he's trying to say. So the Rambam writes that he says it's not clear, it's not perfectly clear what. So the Rebbe says that one of the suggested answers the Rebbe said is that those things that we know will build, the things that are not clear will come in Hashemayim. But one of the different ways of learning it, the Rebbe says that those things that are not perfectly clear, even if we're going to say the Mashiach will build everything, how is Mashiach going to know how to build it? Because it will be revealed to Mashiach what the meaning of these verses in Yechezkel is. So it could also maybe be included in what the Rambam writes. Rebbe doesn't clearly say this, but it could be included in what the Rambam writes, that Mashiach will build the Beis HaMikdash in its place. And I'm sure that the Rebbe says something similar, that he will know how to build the Beis HaMikdash in its place. In other words, everything in its place, every single detail, not just to build the Beis HaMikdash, you know, but every single detail he'll build in its right place, because he will be given the right insight how to understand the Pesukim of Yechezkel, that everything should, you know, we're not able to do that on our own, because we don't have the understanding of what these psukim mean. That's another detail where we see that the building of the Beis HaMikdash in its place is something that only Mashiach will be able to do. Besides the fact he needed to be able to identify the place, he also to figure out exactly how to build it and what, you know, the different level, the different details of building is also not fully clear. And only Mashiach will be able to figure out exactly what it means.
And then it's also the doors.
Yeah. Then the Rebbe says, al derech haremez, on a more of a way of remez, the Rebbe explains other biurim on this. And one of the famous answers the Rebbe spoke many times about is a very classical answer, which in the truth is answers already the Rebbe quoted from earlier sources, that they say like this, very geschmack esichad, the Rebbe explained about this, that the Beis HaMikdash will come down in Hashemayim. What does it mean that we will build the Beis HaMikdash? It says that the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, as a pasuk, it says in Eicha, Atavu Barit Sharad, the doors of the Beis HaMikdash sunk into the ground. So the doors of the Beis HaMikdash sunk in the ground. When Mashiach will come, the doors will come back up. I think it actually is brought down certain places that Kedach, Vadaseh, will be schlepped out of the ground together with the doors. When the doors of the Beis HaMikdash come out of the ground, Kedach will hold on to it and come. I think it's brought down some. Anyway, probably from there's a side point. But Tavu Barit Sharad, that the door is sunk into the ground, and when Mashiach comes, will be come out of the ground, and we will put the doors in its place. What is the significance of putting the doors in its place? So there's the halacha. There's a halacha that is discussed about Nichsei Hager. You'll soon see that has a very beautiful explanation about this. The halacha is that what if somebody is a ger, he's a convert, doesn't have any Jewish relatives, and he dies, passes away, and he has a lot of property. He has no yorshim, he has no inheritors. So technically, this is a hefker, it's ownerless, anyone could go and take. So there's a whole discussion, if a person goes, what he could do halachically to make a kinyan, to do something to acquire the property that it should become his. So you have a halacha, if somebody went into a nichsei hager, you have a field that belongs to a ger that passed away, and somebody builds a big building. He builds a whole palace, but he doesn't put on any doors, or whatever. But pashas, the halacha means that it's pashas open. The details are not so nigger. I don't want to get into form right now. He doesn't put on doors, so it's a big open place. You can just walk straight in. So the halacha is, then someone else comes and he puts up the doors. So the halacha is that the second one acquires everything. Why? Because without putting up the doors, whatever exactly the explanation is, either because it's not fit for living or because it's not protected, but whatever was done without putting up the doors is considered, it's not considered anything. So the second one that put up the doors, he's the one that actually did something that has, that has, either he made it he put on something which makes the house protected, or he made the house in a way that it's livable, so he gets it. Furthermore, it goes even furthermore, what if the first guy comes and says, fine, you acquired it, but pay me, give me all these bricks and this whole wood that I built. There's different opinions here, but the Rambam writes, not the Mepharshim, but the Rambam writes that he doesn't get it. Why? Because he put it down, by him putting it down on the property of the gate, he himself was mafkid. He made it ownerless. He's putting it up without a way. Halachically, he wasn't acquiring it. So like if you put, by him putting it in a way where he can't acquire it in halachic kinyan, he's like being mafkir, he's making ownerless all the whole building, the ganze binyan adayad that he built. So the second guy, he gets everything because he put up the doors. So the lashon of the Rambam and the earlier Mefarshim is that the first person, all he did was, he built, it's like he put a pile of stones on the ground. You put a pile of stones on the ground, does the ground belong to you? No. But somebody that makes a building on the ground, a proper building on the ground, then the ground belongs to him. So the second guy that put up the doors gets the building. So the Rabbi says the same thing is, the first him say, the same thing is with the third day Samikdash. The doors will come out. By us putting up the doors, we'll acquire the Beis Samikdash, will be considered as if we built it. And the Rabbi adds here very, very geshmak of words. Very interesting how the Rabbi takes it and explains it. The Rabbi says, in this case of the Rambam, this case of the Rambam discusses of a person that leaves an empty field and someone comes and builds a building without putting on doors. Mefarshim explained this is only talking about if the person, the first person, didn't dig any foundations in the ground. If the first person, he was building his palace or whatever he was, he dug foundations in the ground, the digging of the foundations itself is an act of a kinyan, an act of acquirement, according to Allah. As long as the first person just came and put, you know, one thing on top of the other, he might have built a nice building, but he didn't actually dig anything in the ground. So because he didn't dig anything in the ground, so just consider that he's just putting a bunch of stuff, leaving a bunch of stuff on ownerless property, and he never acquired it. So he himself was making ownerless everything that he's putting on. But by digging some in the ground, that's already an act of a kinyan. So the Rebbe says, the Rebbe says like this, the third day Samikdash, Minashemayim is prepared. In the Sichas it says it was prepared from the second. The first, second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The Eibush already built the third Beis Hamikdash. Now, if somebody wants to be makir of a carbon, the third Beis Hamikdash is suspended in the air. Let's say it's a foot above ground even. It's coming down, but it's not mamish al gabi kak. It's not on the ground. If somebody will bring a carbon on a suspended Beis Hamikdash in the air, well, is that a halachically acceptable option of bringing a carbon? The answer is no. How do we know that? Because it's interesting, Allah, the whole Beis Hamikdash had stones on the floor. There was a floor of stones. It says that if there's a kohen that's doing the avodah and there's a stone that's out of place, it's a problem for him to do the avodah standing on that stone. But since the stone is not in place in the ground, that stone could be the kohen's feet have to be directly on the floor. The kohen didn't wear any shoes or anything. That's why they had a doctor in the Beis Hamikdash, because the Kohenim were walking barefoot on the stone floor the whole day. They were eating meat.
He's a podiatrist.
Huh?
The doctor is a podiatrist. Yeah.
And the Rambam was brought in halacha. They had a doctor there. And, you know, so the Kohen's feet had to be directly on the floor of the Beis Hamikdash. If there's the stone is out of place, it's already a question of a chatzitza. The stone is not directly connected to the ground. So if you have a Beis Hamikdash that's completely built with all the mices, but it's suspended in the air, it's not kavua bekarka, it's not attached to the ground. The halacha is it's not a kosher Beis Hamikdash. You can't be makir of a carbon. In order to be makir of a carbon, you have to be standing al gav bekarka on top of the ground. So the Beis Hamikdash has to be on the ground. Now, in order, the Rebbe goes a step further. Now that it's on the ground, whose ground is it? The city of Yerushalayim, it says, doesn't belong to any Jew in particular. Yerushalayim, it says, different parts of Eretz Yisrael were divided amongst the Shvatim. Yerushalayim wasn't divided amongst the Shvatim. So the city, the Har Habayis, the city of Yerushalayim, technically belongs to everyone, doesn't belong to anyone in particular. Particularly, the Rebbe says, after the Golos and the Goyim went into Eretz Yisrael and the Har Habayis, they also have a say on the Har Habayis. So the Rebbe says, it's not, since the Beis Hamikdash has to be attached to the ground, this teaches us, not only it has to be attached to the ground, but it has to be on the ground that we own, that the Jewish people own. It's not just enough it's on the ground. Since it has to be on the ground, means it has to be on whose ground? On the ground of the Jewish people. So we find, for example, David HaMelech, when he prepared the building of the first Beis Hamikdash, he collected the money with which he bought the ground of the Beis Hamikdash from all the Yidden. So the Rebbe says the third Beis Hamikdash, the ground, the kark of Har HaBayis, has to belong to all the Jewish people. So the third base, so the Rebbe says, I'm ready to get thing. The Rebbe says, the third base Hamikdash is coming from heaven. It's mamish exactly the halacha of the Rambam of somebody that's building a building on top of property without, he's not digging, and if he would dig foundations in the property, it would become his. The third base Hamikdash, no one is digging foundations in the ground, it's coming straight from heaven, it's coming straight down. So even after the base Hamikdash comes down on the Har HaBayis, Beis HaMikdash technically doesn't belong to the Jewish people. The land, the karka of the Beis HaMikdash, which is crucial, the Beis HaMikdash has to be on the ground. It has to be on ground that's owned by Jews. So the Yidden have to do an act to acquire it. So the Rebbe says, that is why our act of putting the doors in the Beis HaMikdash through which we will acquire the third Beis HaMikdash is so crucial here. Because if not, it's like, if the Beis HaMikdash is, in other words, it's kilos of the Beis HaMikdash, is still suspended in the air. Beis HaMikdash has to be on the ground, and it has to be on top of ground that is owned by Jewish people. So even after it comes on the ground, but since the Abishah didn't do any kinyan, there was no kinyan that we did, so you know, on the ground, right, as of now, so the third Beis HaMikdash will be, you know, doesn't belong to us. When we put up the doors, by us putting up the doors, it makes the Beis HaMikdash halachically considered good enough to bring karbonis, then the third base Hamikdash becomes ours. The Rebbe shows how mamish, the very interesting word, how mamish it fits this halacha perfectly.
In other words, when they put the doors, then the ground on the base Hamikdash that they're standing on also becomes there.
Right.
Not only the house.
Right, the ground becomes on. And that's crucial, because the character of the base Hamikdash matters so much, and it matters so much that it's ours. The Rebbe says how you see how this.
And again, they did the same thing also.
Huh?
But again, they did
yeah, the Rebbe, if he's not chayfer, you say this bikarka.
And he put the doors.
So it's like if he didn't put the doors.
No, he put up the doors. That makes the ground also
blow. Yeah, yeah, that's the whole word. That he's kind of mitzvah hagev. He's kind of the land itself.
Okay. Yeah.
I think might even be kind of the whole field.
That's a question.
I'm not sure. I think it could be. I'm not 100% sure.
What about if the foundations are already there? Because the Rebbe says that the Pesach Kedashim had two parts, so above ground and underground. So.
It's not a question. The question is if Yeshua Novi did kill the king, Yeshua dug a whole place under with the Shefer over there. The everything is inside there, and it's Chelik of the Mikdash, and it's there. How does this all go? How does this all jump?
The way I understand the Sicha is that we have to make a kinyan in the actual Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is coming down. We need to make a kinyan in that building that comes down.
Building also.
Right. We need. But in other words, the building comes attached to the ground. In other words, the rule is, if you're able just to have a building without ground, that would mean you don't need to own the building. If you have a building suspended in the air and you take a helicopter, you go up and bring your carbon, if you would be allowed to do that, that would mean that it doesn't have to be on top of our, it doesn't have to be our property. The fact that it has to be on top of ground means it has to be attached to the ground, but I think there's a deeper word here that not only has to be attached to the ground, it means it has to be our property. Not just the land, I guess it has to be both. Side the property has to be ours, which is already ours, but the Beis HaMikdash also has to become ours.
And if the foundation is already there, wouldn't that also be ownerless?
What would be ownerless?
If the question he's raising is if there's already a foundation and that foundation is revealed, would that constitute the digging of a foundation?
But it would constitute the digging, but the foundation that's there, the foundation that's there is nothing to do with the third Beis HaMikdash. The foundation that's there is from the first to second Beis HaMikdash. So we acquired the first and second. The area, this is the way I understand the Sicha. The area of the Har HaBayis belongs to us. When David HaMelech bought it, and every Jew had a part in it, that kinyan, that acquirement was never taken off. That I've explained this many times, every Jew still owns Eretz Yisrael. But now the Beis HaMikdash is coming down. The Beis HaMikdash is now coming down. This is considered a separate entity, which we have to be able to acquire the third Beis HaMikdash. So if the third Beis HaMikdash, in other words, how do we prove this concept that we need to acquire the third Beis HaMikdash?
It's not exactly separate entity. says to me one continuation. That part of the Kodesh Kodeshim is there.
What he's saying is this. The point is, the question he is, let's get that clear. When the king Yishayahu put it inside, because Shlomo Melech made Mechilas over there, clearly that should be hidden, in order that the order should be part of its Migdash, and it's now part of the Kodesh Kodeshim like it was before. Because however he did it halachically, he made where the Kodesh Kodeshim is right now, is there. It's there. In other words, it's in Chedek Kesh HaKadoshim. Now, there's a halachic term of owning the property, 2 points. Where the land is standing on, and then, if there's a stone in Beis HaMikdash that's not connected, that's not mounted to the ground, the din is of Kain is allowed to stand on top of it. You own it. You own the stone is yours, is ours, and the land is ours. But if it's not connected to that, if it's not one entity, so there's a problem with ownership. There's a problem with standing on the ground, that you have to stand on the ground of Beis Mikdash, and that's a problem by a Kohen if he's working, he's standing on a rock that's loose because it's not part of the ground. So apparently, what the Rebbe is trying to say over here is that the connection between the building that the Eibush is going to put down and whatever we own over there, to connect it together, you have to do something, a pu'ula, you have to do an effect, effectively something that actually makes, connects that this, like this
building,
the ground now becomes, mounted the ground,
now becomes ours, just like the land is ours.
Land is ours.
It can't be the mafreya, because once it's connected to...
How's it connected?
Well, you bring the Beis HaMikdash comes down, the Kodesh Kodesh connects with the other part of the Kodesh Kodesh, and it's still there.
Says the Rebbe, as long as you didn't do a pu'ula that makes a connection to it, then why is it different than somebody putting up a piece of a building?
But there's also another. There's another detail here that I think is also important. At the end of the day, the Har HaBayis doesn't belong to any particular year. It belongs to every single year. Theoretically, it's still, even though it belongs to every Jew, but at the same time, it doesn't belong to any Jew in particular. So at the end of the day, there's still like a land that's hefty. Whatever you put down there, it belongs to the Jewish people, but it doesn't belong to any Jew in particular. So therefore, we're still missing a certain level of acquirement to it. David HaMelech built, he collected the money that he gave B'chel Kaviv. The third day, on the other hand, doesn't belong. You could say the Har HaBayis belongs to the Jews. It doesn't belong to any Jew in particular. Therefore, the Yidden as a whole have to do something, some pula to show their acquisition of the third Beis HaMikdash, which through that it becomes now belonging to all the Jewish people. Again, the exact details, I have similar questions I was reading the Sikha, the exact halachic aspects here. I mean, the Har HaBayis does belong to us. What exactly are we accomplishing? I guess there has to be something to make it belong to, in other words, even though collectively we own it, but because it doesn't belong to any single Jew in particular, then it's still considered to some degree as hefker. The lemafreya won't help for the third. In other words, if let's say you're, I don't know, I don't have a clear answer to your question. You also have to. There's another element that Rebbe adds, that pnei chatin and galina meretzena. The Goyim, in a certain way, took away our ownership of the Har HaBayis during Galus. So whatever David and Shlomo did, in a certain sense, we still need, like, they also now became, also in a certain sense, maybe honorable. Not conceptual.
Even though the condition remains. So
right, but in other words, it doesn't, we have to still do an act of the kinyan. There's going to need to be an acquired. The Rebbe doesn't go to the exact, these questions the Rebbe doesn't deal with. But it seems we're going to have to do something to make a final, you know, acquisition that it should be clear-cut belonging to us. That's the way it's smart. Again, I don't have a clear answer to these questions. That's the way it comes up in the Rebbe Sikha. Until 9 o'clock? I don't know, it depends on the Rebbe.
Yeah, I think we're okay.
I'll discuss one more point here. There's another thing that Rebbe says, but this is a famous thing also, people know the Rebbe explained al-derech. So the Rebbe says al-derech ha-remez. It's like a shmaka sikh. The Rebbe never usually said this, but in this sikh, the Rebbe says, what does it mean the Mashiach will build a Beis HaMikdash in its place? The Rebbe says, the Rebbe is learning the Rambam now, trying to connect the Rambam more al derech haremez, according to the way the Mashiach will come in a miraculous way. So he says Mashiach's job will be the base. He won't have to build the actual Beis HaMikdash. That will already be built by Hashem. His job will be to bring it down in its place down here. The Beis HaMikdash now is in heaven. But in heaven it's not in its place. You can't bring karbonos from the Beis HaMikdash. They're suspended up in heaven. It's a different sikha, but the Rebbe makes the point of teaching the word dimkoimoy, the Mashiach will, the job of Mashiach is to build the Beis HaMikdash in its place. That's a hint that the Rambam is alluding to by using the word dimkoimoy. Lavdavka will have to actually build it. He'll have to bring it, when you'll see the Beis HaMikdash coming down on the ground in its place, that's going to be the job of Mashiach. There's another al derech haremez that everyone knows, probably heard the famous sikha of Beis Rabbeinu Shavibovo, the Rebbe says that there's another hint in the word Mimkoyma, in this place which goes on the place of Mashiach in the time of Golos. And the truth is, other sikhas of the Rebbe, maybe not so famous, but the Rebbe explains all the simonim of Mashiach, how they apply in the Yid's Avodah. Like the fact that Mashiach will be diligent in Torah mitzvahs, every Yid should follow, every Yid has a mitzvah of Mashiach. Every Jew has a spark of Mashiach in himself, so in his Avodah is being, that he's diligent in Torah mitzvahs. So he'll compel other Yid into Torah mitzvahs. Every Yid has the avodah to go and, make Yidin do Torah mitzvahs, to fight the wars of Hashem, to fight against any element of the world that's opposing godliness. And the Rebbe says, what means to build a Beis HaMikdash in this place? Means every Yid, in his own place, the Rebbe says in his place, one place the Rebbe said is in his heart. In his heart, in his own place, he should build a Beis HaMikdash. Another place the Rebbe said, the Mekhemi means in his Dal Adamas, in his place, wherever he is, he has to make that should be a dwelling place for Hashem. This will be a hachana preparation for the building the Beis HaMikdash in its real place in the third Beis HaMikdash. But the famous Sikha Beis Rabbeinu Shabbat, the Rebbe goes a step further, and the Rebbe says that when it says Mashiach will build the Mikdash in its place, it's a hint that in his place refers to the place of Mashiach in the time of Galus. That even, in other words, even before Mashiach actually builds the Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach will build in his place a Beis Rabbeinu Shabbat, a place for the Shekhinah to rest. And if you think about it, and particularly in the context of the other Sikhas, it means, you see here in a certain sense, the Avodah of Mashiach in the time of Golos is as much as we could prepare for Mashiach, but even though it's not yet the third Beis HaMikdash, but to build a place, every Jew really connects with the Avodah of every Shul, in his place where he is, to build another Shul. Particularly in Mashiach, the Rebbe explains, Mashiach is the Nasi Yadur, the Beis HaRabbeinu Shavuot is the place of Ashras HaShchinah for the whole world, that in his place he's already building a shul which will become, which as the preparation for the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rebbe there, and that Sikha goes on to say that the Rebbe said that when Mashiach will come, the third Beis HaMikdash will come down, it'll be Neslavish, will be enclosed in the Beis HaMikdash that Mashiach built in his place in Golos. This is a way of understanding the Rambam. Although the Rambam himself is not. It's more al derech haremez. It's more according to, remez, what this means. But it also shows us the importance of living with Mashiach. Even Mashiach himself, even before he actually builds the Beis HaMikdash, he's already doing something to prepare. So by us also, the Rebbe says we should all build the Beis HaMikdash in our own, in other words, building the Beis HaMikdash doesn't mean you have to build the three-story. Everything you do, like the Rebbe came out, the Mitzvah Beis Chabad, have in your own house a room that's dedicated for Tehillah, Tefillah, Tzedakah, making, centers of Yiddishkeit, shuls, things like that. This is all a preparation of having the third Beis HaMikdash in its place. Should have to take it from Yad Mamish.